Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it is a victory Monday and the Texans climb back in at 3-4. Feels a whole lot better than that 2-5, especially with the Colts continuing to do what they do. They do a number on the Titans again as they move to 7-1 in the AFC South. But more importantly, the Texans, they get a win. Cincinnati screws off that game against the Jets, which helps you in the AFC standing. So pretty good day for the Texans yesterday. And as we said, the phone lines on a reaction Monday are open. 713-572-4610. We want to hear from the Drive family. 713-572-4610. And the question I'd like for you to go off of is, was Sunday's game just a good game for the Texans? Or do you think it was a great sign, you know, a sign that they could maybe make a run for things as they beat a 5-2 first place at the time San Francisco 49ers team? Was it a good sign or was it just a good game? 713-572-4610. You can get in and give your thoughts. Clint, what do you think? Do you think it was a good sign or a good game?
Yeah, no, I think it's a good sign. I mean, I think if you just look at where we know the Texans are really good, that's on the defensive side of the football, to be able to go out there and you know, hold Christian McCaffrey, one of, if not the best, most versatile player on the offensive side of the ball in the league, you know, to be the first team to hold him under 100 yards and do it convincingly. I think it was 68 total yards, I think is what it was, something like that. To do it convincingly, I think that is a really, really good sign, especially when, you know, there's been a couple of games where the opponents ran the football better than expected against the Texans' defensive front. And so I think that alone is another sign, another step in the right direction with this team just being an unbelievably dominant defense that can be multiple across the board, that can attack offenses in different ways. They tackled tremendously. So I think that in itself is a step in the right direction. And then offensively, anytime you can get another game under your belt of calling from Nick Caley to quarterbacking from C.J. Stroud to the entire unit executing that death by a thousand cuts identity that they are, I think is a step in the right direction. So yeah, this is bigger than just a good game for me. Not to mention, you mentioned the record. You know, yeah, you fall to 2-5, it's all but over. You get to 3-4. Now you can see the light at the end of the tunnel of getting back to 500 and even getting north of 500.
You know, gives you confidence in the going these next two home games.
Yeah.
Denver and Jacksonville.
Absolutely.
Two AFC teams. Yeah,
you got the Tennessee Titans behind that. So you can make a big time shift. So yeah, I think this was a great sign at this point in the season for me, more so than just a good game.
Text line coming in, just a good game. I'm overthinking it. It could be a good sign, LOL, if they back it up with a Broncos game. I'll see it as a sign. I'm with you. I want to say a good sign, fellas, and we'll get to your calls here in a second. I want to say a good sign because, Clint, I'm not at all surprised that they won the game. Hell, I picked it. 17-13. Tyler and Clint went the other way. I just wanted to make sure that was known. I'm not surprised they won, but Clint, I would have never thought, all right, they won this game primarily because their offensive coaching staff was so much better. I'm not saying their defense did play a role in this thing, but their offense was so good. I mean, they had, what, 6 plays of 9 plays or more? They held the ball for 6 drives, excuse me, of 9 plays or more. They held the ball for over 41 minutes. They were 7 of 17 on 3rd and 4th down. Like, they were clear. Like, and their offense, Nick Caley, did a number on Robert Saleh. I remember saying it at the half to B. Scott, to you. All right, now we'll see what Robert Saleh's adjustments are in the half. And I remember B. Scott said, do you think Nick Caley will have any? Well, I don't know what the hell happened, but he continued to kick his ass in the second half. So, to me, that felt like a good sign that against a team like the 49ers, who are coached and led by their sides of the ball by Kyle Shanahan, who is one of the most respected offensive minds in the game, and Robert Saleh, who's one of the most respected defensive minds in the game, Nick Caley, Matt Burke, and D'Amico Ryans clearly won that battle. And I think that's a potential good sign that the way they won.
Absolutely. There is no doubt about it. I mean, I've said it before. There's obviously the value in the reps, Ron, but also, you know, the ability to just stay the course and for 4 quarters never get excited, never get out over your skis, never get to where you're holding the ball too long or you're running around trying to make plays, trying to do too much. If the defense is going to allow you to just sit there and pick them apart with quick out routes, with little sits over the ball, with checking the football down, and then take it. And I'll argue that C.J. Stroud can throw the ball down the field with the best of them. In situations where the game dictates that C.J. Stroud's got to sit in the pocket and throw the football down the field, C.J. can play with anybody out there. Right, it's the being disciplined, taking the boring, committing to that approach, and he got 4 quarters of reps doing that on Sunday, and that's extremely valuable. Outside of a win versus a fully healthy top team, a day like yesterday was about as valuable as it gets.
All right, let's hit the phone lines. Jarrell, you're leading us off. Do you think yesterday was a good sign for things to come, or just one good game?
Man, I got to be honest with you guys. Now, I've been a Texas fan since 2002. I'm one of the elite, the rare. And I believe that yesterday was just a good sign. Not a good sign, but a good game. And the reason I say that is because we can't let our eyes deceive us. The Texans haven't done anything this season to make us believe that they're a Super Bowl contender. They got a Super Bowl-ready defense, but they haven't done anything to make us believe that they're a contender. Don't let your eyes fool you, man. You see it every week, week in and week out. From week one when we played the Rams, they lose to all the good teams. Anytime they play some teams with a bunch of injuries, they seem to raise their level of play. I mean, it's obvious.
Appreciate the call, Jarrell. Listen, I think what you're saying is fair to think through. I will say that the Niners did have injuries, but they are good. They were 5-2 and just, you know, and have had some good wins with those injuries that they've had. But I don't think it's unfair for you to say when they play the Rams, when they play the Jags, when they played the Seahawks, it didn't look great.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think if you're still in because the way Jarrell started that is you started off with championship talk. I mean, if you're still in that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Which, look, by the way, I'm fine with it. Hell, they spent the money. They got the dudes. That was the expectation at the beginning of the year, so I'm okay. I've just chosen to kind of move the goalpost a bit, if you will, or move the my shift my conversations to, hey, I know who they are right now, and my conversations have shifted to what do they really need, and yesterday was what they really needed. So I think it's progress in the right direction. But if you're still of the mindset that this is championship or bust type deal, I could see where you would think yesterday was just a game. Sure.
Yeah. All right, Corey, let's hear it from you. Corey, was yesterday a good sign for things to come or just one good game in your opinion?
I think it's a good time for things to come, especially for our quarterback, C.J. Stroud, because let's be real, last year people said that he regressed a little, and this year going out for the Seattle game where he threw that pick, he needed this mentally, because yesterday I seen some throws that he made where he stayed in the pocket, especially on that first touchdown. He threw an absolute laser beam for the touchdown. It's like that's going to help him mentally coming up, knowing that even though they may have been shortened, we still beat a 5-2 team. So going forward, that lets us know we can do it. Plus, the blessing in disguise was I hate that Nico got hurt, but now it makes CJ trust his receivers more. And yesterday, he started stripping in the ball and getting it to everybody. So I think it was a great time for him and for Nick Haley. But we still got to work on our special teams. Thanks.
All right, good call, Corey. No, I think CJ's always, if anything, jump starts CJ from for him to start to look like the CJ that I think everybody expected to see after year one, then that is a game changer. That is a good sign. That is something for more to come forward.
Yeah, I mean, and if you want to take it a step further with this kind of game, I think Xavier Hutchinson is exactly who we thought Xavier Hutchinson is. He's a reserve receiver. He can be a two, probably fits more in a three range, and is extremely valuable stepping up, knowing what to do, where to be, when to be there, very quarterback friendly, very dependable. It doesn't surprise me that he went out there and made plays given what San Francisco's defense was doing. But the Jalen Noel part of this is big. I think Jalen Noel and Braxton Berrios getting in there and making plays and kind of being quarterback friendly and getting loose underneath several times was a big part too. I mean, that let's not forget Nico. When Nico gets back, we're going to have that, right? And when Christian Kirk comes back, you're going to have that. But in the meantime, you need some of these other guys to get really comfortable in this offense and get the rhythm, get in rhythm with C.J. Stroud. And I think that there's the games like yesterday go a long way for cats that are either trying to get run like Braxton Berrios or are young and trying to earn the respect and earn the run like Jalen Noel.
That's a good one. The confidence that he's getting in those young dudes,
no question,
had to go up.
And I'm gonna tell you, man, don't sleep on the how good those kind of games are for Dalton Schultz too, because keeping Dalton Schultz dialed into what's going on offensively. I mean, Ron, I don't know if you watched it yesterday, but in a couple of them runs where he's coming back, the split zone concept where they're handing the ball off to the right, but he's coming underneath and he's kicking out the backside end, and a lot of times he'll slip out in the flats for a catch. I mean, he was dropping it, man. He was bringing the wood yesterday a couple of times, and that is a different level of Dalton Schultz. So another good production game from a guy like that that's changing the way the physicality that he brings every day. That's valuable as well.
All right, let's go to our guy, Southside Al. Al, let me hear it. Was it a good sign or just one good game?
What's up, gang? Clint, I hunt you down today. I talked to you yesterday, man.
Yes, sir.
Great show yesterday. Hey, Ron, say, look here, man. Let me say this here. You know I'm going to put it to bed. Hey, Larry, I need you to get in here, too. I don't know what that guy talking about a while ago, Ron, but you know I'm H-Town till we die, baby. I'm sick of hearing these excuses with people talking about they was did San Francisco this. They had one thing on their mind, Clint. They had Christian McCaffrey, and we all know he can wreck a game by himself. Yep. I'm just saying. Defense win championships regardless. He couldn't get it going. Keep up the pace with the defense. I think we're going to be all right. But I will say this here about what's going on, Ron. Here's the switch to the dynamite. This is what I want to see. I ain't going to take nothing in the win that I wouldn't take in a loss. The thing of it is this. I need to see that O-line give him some more protection, because when you give C.J. Stroud that kind of look, I don't think he had no sacks, Ron. But the thing of it is, if the offensive line, and I was telling Clint yesterday, if that O-line can just hold up, man, and be average, I wasn't advocating a trade too much of other positions, Clint, yesterday. I was advocating that the O-line, with C.J. Stroud, if you put him on any one of these teams with a good line and what they got in Indianapolis or them other teams, Tampa Bay, the man will be off the charts. The line is my X factor, Clint. If these guys can withhold these blocks and couldn't put three guys can't block one, we're going to have a problem. If they can just give me some hold up, Ron, I don't care who we play. If the old C.J. Stroud is a game wrecker, I don't care what that's. When you know what you know with a quarterback, you got a quarterback. We got some good receivers, and we got two good running backs, Chubb and that other boy, that rookie we got. And I'm a sleeper. The sleeper is the Noel guy. You know, Nico going to do what he can do. But, Ron, I just think if we can – I'm just looking for this O-line. If they can meet the matchups with defenses, getting that pressure, walking in C.J. lap, if they can contain that, I don't care who we play. I ain't worried about it. And I hang up and get your take.
I got you, Al. I appreciate it. Yeah, listen, I mean, it's clear a difference from the offense when they get some semblance of protection. And yesterday, I would argue, was outside of the Ravens game, was the best protection he got. All right, no sacks. I don't even know how many times he got hit. But he no sacks in that game. And yeah, that is, we do see a different CJ when he's protected like
yep.
that. I think we saw a different Clint Sterner at Arkansas in Dallas. I think most quarterbacks we see that. And yes, the O-line is big time when they protect him. All right, Ron, we'll let you get the last in. Is it a good sign yesterday's win or just one good game?
I think it's a good sign, but you know what, look, one word for me that's out there, you guys are thrown around a little bit already, is consistency.
Yep.
How can you go from 1 week planning and executing the way that they do, and then you just, I mean, Ron, you said it earlier, it's an A or an F. There ain't nothing in between, right? Yeah. So I don't understand why there's that diversity of it. I get it. You're playing a different opponent every week, but they came off 15 days of rest against Seattle and laid a goose egg. If the defense don't hold us in that game, we ain't got Jack Diddley do not squat going on in that one. We're getting blown out. We are getting blown out. So a couple things that I agree with that were said earlier, like it's promising. And again, I hate the fact that Nico's down and some people have talked about it. Not only is that chemistry good, but I think it's confidence that those guys are getting to develop it also on their behalf, the wide receivers, with him. It's a two-way street. Getting that I know where you're going. How many times, you know, Clint, I'm sure you know this better than anybody else. How many times does a wide receiver just have to look at that quarterback and you know what he's thinking? You know what you're thinking. You know what the read's giving you. That ball's out before you can even blink. Like, how many times you see it on Sunday? He didn't even turn his head around, and the ball was already thrown. And he's getting that chemistry. And I think that when you put Nico back in there, I think it's got a great opportunity. And then, look, let's give some props to Woody Marks. Man, you got to give me some more Woody. And I don't want any comments from T-Mail in the background on that one. We got to get some more Woody, man. They used him in a way that I think is more effective yesterday than I've seen him using. Coming out of that backfield, being that drop down, I was impressed. I love how he pass blocks when you put him in there and he pancakes guys. So I'm encouraged, but I need to see it consistently.
Real quick, Ron. You sound like you was itching to do an impersonation of me. Let's hear it. Because you sound like you tried to pull it out for a half a second there. Let's hear it. Go ahead, Ron.
Man, I can't deal with the show. I can't hang with you. What you talking about? But
all right, thank you, Ron. Like Ron did a version of
that was an awesome call.
Of a black guy that he could use. Really. All right, we do it every Monday. We hear from you. All right, that was good from the callers. All right, coming up, you can text in 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Give us your Man Eye Institute players of the game. A lot to choose from. Who was your player of the game? We'll do that coming up next.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It is a Reaction Monday and a Victory Monday right here on Sports Radio 610 and The Drive. Remember, we are out early today because the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans will get going at 5 o'clock, so make sure you stay tuned for that. The best coaches show in all of the National Football League, the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans.
Hey, 4 segments, boys, 3 positive. 4 segments, 3 positive.
Coach show should be hella interesting tonight.
Hey, I'm talking about our show.
No, I know.
4, just out for all the ones out there that they're counting the negatives, we're 250. 25% negative, 75% positive here.
And there,
for all you sensitive stroker wanting some bucks.
What you saying? This next one, it's only meant to be positive.
Which one is that? What are we talking about?
The Man Eye Institute player of the game.
We're talking about play. Hell, it's four or five, boys. I mean, damn. What happened? Was that old negative midday crowd just kind of bled over into us in that first segment, or is that folks that just didn't?
And I always thought Reggie like was so damn positive.
What the hell's going on around here, man? What are you doing so positive today, Ron? Did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend.
Huh? Courtney was good to you, huh?
Well, she's always good to me, man.
Oh, I know. I wasn't insinuating she wasn't, but I just extra good. Extra
good. Mom was in town.
Oh, maybe not.
Had a good time.
Teresa probably got the same kind of vibe Linda does when it comes to the
game. Shout out. Yep. You know what I mean? She came down here 3-0, all the kids' games. 3-0, all the kids had a game.
All of them won.
Granny, all blowouts. Kind of like the NFL Sunday yesterday.
Hughley House raising winners.
Yeah. Well. Listen, it was a good week. They've not all been great weeks.
Man said, well.
It was a good week. It was a good week. Shout out. Yeah, sorry, man. Old Pioneer, Ridge or whatever they are. They got their asses destroyed by the Stallions by every level. Every single level. All right, let's go with our Man Eye Institute player of the game. You can text yours in 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch as well. Your player of the game, remember, Man Eye Institute, player of the game. Let's go with you, Clint. You started off. Who is your player of the game?
Well, we've talked a lot about him today, and you know, we've seen greatness from him before, and we're seeing flashes of it this year, and it's C.J. Stroud.
God bless, brother.
Killer game on multiple fronts. Statistically, 30 of 39 for 318 yards, 2 touchdowns, 77% completion rate. 7 rushes for 30 yards, a couple of those for first downs. You look at the 77% completion, that could have been low 80% easy. I can count, I mean, I just from quick memory, that 3 balls that he missed on throws that he typically makes in his sleep. So it was even actually could have been even better. Monster game statistically. You know, the commitment level, because I think this is a struggle right now, guys. I think as things get difficult, defenses stiffen up. I think CJ naturally wants to get more aggressive. CJ naturally kind of wants to go do his own thing. Committing to the identity of this offense, which is that death by a thousand cuts, committing to that for 4 quarters is not easy to do for CJ Stroud. And he accomplished it yesterday. And then I said it earlier, Ron, early in this game, I remember seeing 2 different occasions where CJ Stroud in a very animated fashion, you know, switched the direction of the protection, made sure he was protected to his left side and got the football out on a 3rd down. That right there in itself is extremely valuable. It's the first time that I recall seeing it from C.J. Stroud. Like, not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying he was animated enough in the process that I could see it from the press box. And that is big for C.J. Stroud. That's a big step for C.J. Stroud. Somebody mentioned earlier the locker room post-game game ball to the O-line, I believe. You know, that is a step in a positive direction of being a little bit more vocal in those moments. Now, it's easy to do it after a win like that. We'll see what happens, you know, when it's tough sledding, but that's a step in the right direction. So my Man Eye Institute player of the game is none other than QB C.J. Stroud.
There it is, C.J. Stroud. All right, I see some people checking in. Woody Marks is there, player of the game. Black Greg says, Will Anderson wrecked the game. Another good one. There were several guys out there. Someone says Jalen Noel. Big plays over the top. You talked about Jalen Noel being a – they did. They found ways to get him the ball. Tyler, who is your Man Eye Institute player of the game?
There were a few to choose from, which is a welcome sight comparatively to weeks past for these Texans. Sorry, that was not completely positive. Was a positive Sunday at NRG. I'm going with Xavier Hutchinson. He had a career high, I believe, in targets, receptions, and yards in a game. 5 receptions, 69 yards, 1 touchdown. That's his final stat line. So I'm going with X. Throw up to X.
Yeah, nobody at all was surprised with his 69-yard output that you would pick him as your player of the game.
That one was for you, caller Ron.
Nice. At all. With his 69.
Anytime something lands on 69, Tyler's in it.
We all should be.
You're right. Rob Torres, the British Brooks, should get a look for what he did to that D lineman. Good God Almighty. 90, I believe. It's 90 or 92. One of you just got your ass depleted, and then he stood over you and just, damn. Yeah, that was nice, British. All right, my Man Eye Institute player of the game is Nick Caley. Nick Caley is somebody who we have talked about fairly, has had some struggles, to say the least, during this season. And walking into this game, the thought was him against Robert Saleh with no Nico Collins, no Christian Kirk, a team that just seemed out of sorts last week and really have seemed out of sorts once they played better competition. That was a recipe to get away from him. Instead, he dominated that matchup. Nick Caley had it going. You wanted him to see him get the ball to Jalen Noel in different ways. He did, from screens to down the field to in the middle of the field. And what I loved was they were able to run the football different type of ways. He got under center at times to run the football, used them both, and then used that play action perfectly off of it. And this is something you see in the NBA a lot, when, all right, man, they just can't stop this, so we're just going to keep doing it. And those little slants, inside routes, those quick shots, that worked all game long. And anytime they needed something, and they just continued to go with it, didn't try to get cute, did what they were doing well. So I think Nick Caley was fantastic.
That's a good one. He had a day, man. I mean, you can argue that it was more important for him than anybody. I mean, he talked about it last week, as you mentioned, kind of getting away from the run too early and getting a little too aggressive, maybe panicking when you got down, kind of thing. This was a game where they just stayed right there in rhythm and kept his quarterback in rhythm, and whatever communication was going on the sideline clearly was really good, because they just stayed right there in that pocket and kept chipping away. And that's I tell you, that the times that they've been good, it's been that just chip away, and then they've been really good in taking their shots. You know, design it, create some kind of creative shot to get somebody open mid-range to deep on the field, and they've been really good at dialing them up, and CJ's been really good at making those throws. So, again, it's just a matter of does it transition to a Broncos defense that held a Cowboys offense to a couple of season lows yesterday? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. That's a different challenge. But
big game next week, man. Going to be fun. Yeah. It's fun coming off of a win.
But damn it, today, yesterday, he dominated one of the best defensive coordinators in the sport, Robert Saleh, and didn't seem to have any adjustments in the second half to slow them down. All right, coming up, weekend best, weekend worst. Who was yours? In all of the sports world, hell, outside of the sports world, not, you'd have to tell us your personal. Well, hell yeah, I guess you could. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Who's your weekend's best, weekend's worst? We'll get to that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we get rolling here on a Victory Monday and a Reaction Monday, as the Texans, maybe they need to stay with these jerseys. The Texans,
hey, it's worth trying.
Played their best game in these H-Town blue jerseys. Maybe they need to stick with these damn jerseys in that field that way to keep rolling. But we are reacting to their double-digit win against the 49ers. They were the better team from start to finish all the way throughout, and really dominated this game for the most part. But as we move on, we will get back to the Texans. But let's do a little weekend's best, weekend's worst. I see some people jumping in, doing their thing. Oh, yeah, before we get there, Clint, you need to let the people know you're going to be out today, ain't you?
Yeah, Twin Peaks, baby, 6 to 8 p.m., getting ready, getting you tuned up and ready for Monday Night Football. Twin Peaks 290 up on the northwest side, Northwest Freeway 290 location. Twin Peaks, come through tonight. I got a gift card. I'm buying some cold beers. Mm. We will be up there 6 to 8 p.m. having us a good old time. Now come on through and say hello.
So you're saying if Southside Al wanted to come out there, or Ron, who just did our impersonation, they were Jarrell or Corey, they wanted to come out there and have a drink with you, they can come hang out.
Whoever wants to come hang out. And look, we're going to have a little promo out there. We're going to have a little promo out there, and we're giving away U of H Florida State. They're going to play at basketball at the Toyota Center this year. We got some tickets to that game to give away, and the Globetrotters are coming through that Toyota Center as well. We got some tickets there to give away as well. So we got a couple of little giveaways. We got some cold beer that I'm gonna buy, and we got Monday Night Football to get ready for.
All right,
appreciate that, by the way.
Yeah, there you go, man. Let them know, man. Get out there and get you a drink. All right. Well, that is Monday's best. What about your weekend's best, Clint? What is your weekend's best after a crazy sports weekend?
My weekend's best, well, there's a lot to choose from. U of H, some Cougs, they took down ASU.
They did.
To get to 7-1, and climbing up the charts in the Big 12 right there. Texas, they came back in dramatic fashion. I hope Arch Manning's okay. They win in overtime versus Mississippi State. Ole Miss takes down OU at their place, and Lane's got them rolling. Vandy stays hot with Diego Pavia. He keeps his Heisman hopes alive. And, boy, he has caught him on a couple of shows, and he's got Theo Vaughn in the background. They're just kicking it, man. So he's living that Johnny Manziel life right now. But I got to go with college football. I got to stay right there in that lane. Tyler, them Aggies. We've talked.
Diego!
Look, we've talked a lot about these Aggies over the years, and they always do something throughout the year. Typically, it's losing a home game to an opponent that you have no business losing to, especially if you're going to go to the college football players, if you're going to make a run and win the SEC. They've just, for the last several years, they've done that to us, right? And not only have they cleared that hurdle at this point, which bought them a little grace as we get down the stretch here in the season.
Ain't no.
But they went to Baton Rouge. And I know this ain't Les Miles LSU. I know this ain't Ed Orgeron's LSU. But they beat the absolute brakes off of the Tigers in their stadium, beating them by 24 points to get to 8-0. They fire their head coach, even though I think the reports are out there that they're deciding on the AD and the head coach. Some insiders are saying that it may not be final yet, but I don't know how you recover from that. Needless to say, my weekend's best is the Aggies at this point in the season going to Baton Rouge and putting their foot in that ass to the tune of a 24-point victory. I don't know how it gets much better. These cats are for real, and they've shown us, they've proved to us that they're more than just a talented Aggie football team, which we've seen several times in the past. These cats right here are for real, and they're getting better. Getting better every week.
And clearly LSU had everything on the line.
Yeah.
And they came out there. Yeah. You're probably going to get their best effort, at least their coaches. And their ass is going. They got the quarterback that many people think is the best quarterback in the draft, best draft prospect. And they went in, like you said, and they whooped their ass. They got road wins in South Bend and in Death Valley, which are you know, you look at the schedule and like, all right, then they get those. You look at the rest, man. They've got at Missouri, which Missouri's been tough, but that looks a little easier. So their quarterback is out for the year.
Yep.
And then South Carolina, Samford, and then Texas at home, on the road. And Texas has not shown to be a great football team all season. So I mean, they may be able to run the table in this thing as they're sitting third in the country behind Ohio State and Indiana. This looks like a real magical run potentially right now. A&M.
Y'all are turning me on, man. It was belt to ass in Death Valley, and it was beautiful. They hadn't won in Death Valley, the Aggies, that is. They hadn't won there since I was literally 3 years old. Enjoyed every second of it. Beautifully done, Clint.
Mm. It was, yeah. Big time for them. My weekend's best is Austin Reeves. He went insane yesterday. He's an Arkansas kid, so I know you. I know you. Yep. Austin Reeves, no LeBron, no Luka. No problem. He goes 51 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 turnovers. How many shots you think he took to get to 51?
Shoot, I have no idea. Let me check your notes.
22. Hmm. 22 shots to get to 51. It took 22 free throws, but 22 shots to get to 51. That is incredibly efficient. Like, what was it? I think Durant was 9 of 16 in that game to get to 23 points. And he shoots 22 shots and gets 51 points. Big-time performance from Austin Reeves, and they won the game against Sacramento for his performance. That was a crazy, crazy performance. All right, weekend's worst. Clint, what's your weekend's worst?
This is not necessarily a bad performance, but this is my weekend's worst on two fronts. One, it was a nasty injury. The Cam Scataboo injury.
I have not seen it, but I just
I knew it was either a mid-shin break or it was a dislocation, and I think it would – I don't know, but I think you'd rather it be a dislocation, but it's a dislocation of his right foot. Got folded back underneath him. He's undergone surgery. He's beginning rehab immediately. But the injury itself was nasty.
I've not even seen it. And yeah, it's you just, don't want to see it. The way it's been described.
No, I can't believe you hadn't seen it. Hell, every time I look at the TV, it's all over social media. Like, most of those, they try to not show. With this one, it's like they just keeps popping up.
Yeah.
But the injury itself was nasty, so that's a weekend's worst. But then, you know, between him and Jackson Dart, those two guys have really made me want to watch the New York Giants more than I ever have, which is at all. I mean, that story was really cool. I don't give a damn who you were. The joy that those two brought, the way that they were kind of attacking this NFL thing and having success and going shirtless and probably just ravaging whatever part of New York they're in, it was taken from us way too soon, man. So that my weekend's worst is the injury to Cam Scataboo and the fact that football fans from all around aren't going to get to enjoy that Dart, Cam Scataboo,
and neighbors. Year together. Hell, they lost neighbors too. He's out for the year. Those three potential cornerstone. And I wonder, does Brian Daboll survive this? I wonder, do they look at this and say, man, this thing was rolling, and then you lost Cam Scataboo, and you lost Malik Neighbors, and Jackson Dart was rolling. Right. We'll see. We'll wonder if he loses his job due to this. But that was nasty. My weekend's worst is kind of connected to your best, and that's LSU and Brian Kelly. As you said, that was embarrassing, and you needed everything. You had to have this. Clearly, this was even more important than maybe some of them thought it was for LSU, since their coach got fired from it. But they were trying to stay alive for their college football playoff lives, and they're at home, and they got a chance to get a signature win on the season, and they just get their asses handed to them. And that thing was never close.
Hold that time.
I mean, it was dominant. And then Brian Kelly, of course, adds to it. He loses his job. Kelly has the second largest buyout in the history of college football. You talked about the AD. Well, Lo Woodard, he's also the same one who had the highest one, and that was Jimbo Fisher. He hired Jimbo Fisher in his $76 million buyout. But at $54 million buyout, they get him up out of there. He was 34-14, had two 10-win seasons in his three full seasons, 3-0 in bowl games, and his ass is gone, Jack. And another part of that is, like, obviously we're seeing the shift in college football, man. I mean, you don't even get a recruiting class. If you're a full recruiting class, if you're at certain places, I mean, 34-14. Two 10-win seasons, you won all your bowl games. I mean, I'm not saying that's the expectation of LSU, but like, I mean, if he gets fired there, James Franklin was a college football playoff last year and won a game and got fired. Like,
hell, he won two.
Did he win two? Yeah, sure did. He did. Yeah, you're right. He was in the semifinal.
Boise State and SMU.
Yeah, in the semifinal, and had a tight one with Notre Dame that they lost. And he is out. Right, and I mean, nobody is safe, which is
Well, word on the street, this doesn't surprise me at all. Word on the street is out there is he is a straight jerk, and I'll use that term to be nicely. And when you're failing to meet or exceed expectations in Baton Rouge, that ain't gonna last long.
Yeah,
that just ain't gonna last long. So. I didn't think it was ever a good fit down there. I think there are a couple of places in this country, college football-wise, where I don't know that the fit necessarily is going to determine like failure or not, but I do think there's a couple where fit would go a long way to helping you establish kind of who you are and what you're doing. I think LSU is one of those schools, and he never was a good fit.
Well, yeah, and he didn't go in. Like, starting off with the best.
Well, he went in, Ron, I mean, and you may feel different. I never was a huge Brian Kelly. I never understood the Brian Kelly is the best thing since sliced bread. I mean, he was good at Notre Dame. Don't get me wrong, but it was like when he came out, when he took that LSU job, it was like Belichick left New England and went somewhere. It was like, Wait a minute. I never saw him as that. And then on top of that, bad fit. And then he goes in there and he's doing the dancing and he's got the fake, you know, accent that he's Cajun accent that he's trying to throw around.
I think he'll work somewhere else better. Like if Matt Rhule goes to Penn State and Nebraska becomes open, I could see him working it more in the middle of the country. He had 34-14, 2 10-win seasons, winning all your bowl games isn't horrible.
Yeah.
Right?
It
just isn't the expectations at LSU. But at Cincinnati, he was really, really good. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame, he was everywhere he has been, he's been really, really good. So I think Penn State, he probably wouldn't be that bad over there. But you're right. I think LSU just, that wouldn't with his family. All right, go ahead. What you got coming up?
All right, man, that was a big time win yesterday for the Texans. Much needed win. And I'm going to tell you, there's one thing that I don't want to hear. I just simply don't want to hear it. You can miss me with it. Fan how you want a fan, but I don't want to hear this about how the Texans won yesterday. All right, I want to hear this in response to how the Texans won yesterday. I'll tell you what that is. We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.